I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? We are here. NFL training camp is here, and it's great to be with you. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We are live from Camp Casario. It begins today, 9:15 a.m. Prior to that, 8:45 a.m. You'll hear the general manager live here on Sports Radio 610. But the offseason now officially feels like it's over for the NFL. There will be NFL football players out here in uniform today, practicing, doing football things, and we will be here to cover it for you every minute of it as Camp Casario gets underway here out at Texans training camp. I'm Sean Pendergast alongside original Houston Texan Seth Payne. Is that better?
Yeah, that was better.
All right,
yeah,
good,
that was good.
All right,
Sean,
good.
That's for the people who weren't listening yesterday. That's what sometimes, just out of nowhere, for whatever reason, people randomly yell that when they see me in public. I think it's kind of like a Mike Jones thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like to choose. That's where they're getting it from. They're like, yeah, I get a Mike Jones vibe about Seth Payne. So I find myself way more excited than I thought I'd be about this. It's not because I think the Texans are going to win 13 games this year and take the league by storm or anything. It's that this is someplace we weren't last year, Sean. We weren't sitting out here next to a practice field, next to a pristine NFL-groomed practice field. You guys have to understand that if you've never been out to an NFL practice field. These things are like golf courses.
It's like the 18th fairway at the Masters.
Yeah. And I've never, until I started broadcasting, I never got to be out here at 5 a.m., you know, with nobody else out here. It's kind of peaceful. You start to see the sun come up over the horizon. We're going to... I mean, they would have let me out here as a player at 5 a.m. if I wanted to.
Right.
But I just didn't want to.
It was everything you could do to not be out here at 5 a.m., yeah. I'm sure, when you were a player. So
there's intrigue here.
Yes.
We don't know what the hell's going to happen with Deshaun Watson today. Is Deshaun Watson going to be on the field? Is he going to take snaps? Are they going to keep him in the training room? Which happens, you know, a lot of times veteran players here at camp, you might not see for days at a time. And the story is, well, they're rehabbing a hammy or something.
Yeah.
So the whole gamut is available to us, and we don't have a clue what we're going to see.
I guess we'll get our first hint 8:45 a.m. today when Nick Caserio takes the podium. Practice starts at 9:15, but Seth, we know that the first question for Nick Caserio is going to be about Deshaun Watson. It's got to be. It's the biggest topic here at camp.
He's doing his availability
he's doing
before
media,
practice.
Media availability at 8:45 a.m. for Nick Caserio.
Tell me this stuff.
And then 9:15 a.m. is when practice actually begins. Let's as long as we're talking about Deshaun, let's do a level set here as to where the league is with this, because the league actually made a statement yesterday about the investigation into Deshaun Watson. If you're just getting up with us, Payne and Pendergast with you here on the first day of Camp Casario, live at Texans training camp, here with you throughout training camp here on Sports Radio 610. Here's what the NFL had to say yesterday, Seth. The NFL's review of the serious allegations against Deshaun Watson remains ongoing and active. We are working cooperatively with the Houston Police Department and ensuring that the NFL's inquiry does not interfere with their investigation. As we continue to gather additional information and monitor law enforcement developments, we will make appropriate decisions consistent with the collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. Here's the money shot. At this time, there are no restrictions on Watson's participation in club activities. In other words, there's nothing that the league is doing to impose any sort of restrictions or obstacles to Deshaun Watson being on the field today. If Deshaun Watson is not on the field today, it's because they've come to some sort of mutual agreement to not have him on the field. It's because they feel it's better for him maybe that he wasn't around the team at OTAs, that it's better he just go train and lift inside. Maybe there's a phantom injury that pops up between now and 9:50
Hey, he wasn't here for the spring. We want to be sure that he's in shape, all that stuff, yeah.
You just read about 10 books on gambling, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had to handicap this thing, what do you think happens at 9:15 a.m. today?
I think that it is minus 200 that he does not take a snap.
Do you think he will be out here? Do we see the red number 4 jersey out here?
I think that, yeah, I think we do.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that there might be a little bit of a grudge match going on here where Deshaun, we know, requested a trade. Nobody has denied that at all. Deshaun requested a trade, didn't want to be here. Then all the allegations hit. But the biggest reason that he would show up now, despite wanting a trade, is that he's going to get fined $50,000 a day. So he shows up probably also thinking, you know, I don't think the Texans really want me here right now or want to deal with this. At which point, if you're the Texans, the grudge match thing to do might be, yeah, okay, look, we don't know you. We know you don't want to be here. So we'll just go ahead and put you on display, for everybody to see you out here uncomfortable. Cause I don't think the Texans, if there's one thing the Texans have demonstrated in the last couple of years, for better or for worse, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, they don't seem to really care what people think of them or what level of discomfort or potential dysfunction they create in a locker room. I mean, it just, that's the awful chaos and mayhem that has been for these last 2 years. I think we'll continue today. I think we see Deshaun Watson out here, and maybe it's a little bit of posturing by the Texans.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, because I've been asked this by a lot of people, like, okay, what are the rules exactly for this commissioner's exemplar? Seth, I think if you asked most people, say, a month ago, what we would be saying sitting here this morning, first day of Camp Caserio, you and I would be talking about Deshaun Watson being on the commissioner's exempt list. That has not happened yet. And I think there are a lot of people that thought they would put him on the commissioner's exempt list just to not create drama, not draw more attention to it. You've got to conduct an investigation in a vacuum, and if you're Roger Goodell and Lisa Friel, and look at the evidence and look at what you're hearing and say, is this enough to be over the threshold for what would constitute putting a player on the commissioner's exempt list? And somebody posted yesterday exactly what those thresholds are. One of them, obviously, is if you're charged with a crime. Deshaun has not had that happen to him, at least not yet. There are several, complaints that have been filed with the Houston Police Department. This is the one, though. There's three bullet points, and this is the one where it makes me think, man, maybe Roger Goodell and Lisa Friel are having a hard time finding anything to put him on this list, because one of the thresholds is when an investigation leads the commissioner to believe that a player may have violated this policy by committing any of the conduct identified above, he may act where the circumstance and evidence warrant doing so. This decision will not reflect a finding of guilt or innocence and will not be guided by the same legal standards and considerations that would apply in a criminal trial.
In
other words, they may not have found anything yet,
right,
Deshaun
right.
Watson.
But I think that last part is the part that's really relevant that I think people understandably might not realize or understand. That in deciding whether to put somebody on that commissioner's exempt list, Roger Goodell has a whole lot of power. And Deshaun is not entitled to a jury trial by his peers. You know, it's not the same as in the legal system.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger is one of the classic examples of, hey, the legal system didn't punish or find Ben Roethlisberger guilty of anything, but the league stepped in and punished him based on what they knew.
Yep.
And that was back, you know, a decade ago, mm-hmm. where I think the NFL has been more aggressive, and rightfully so, in pursuing these things, any kind of violence against women or domestic violence. And that's just a huge question, is what exactly are they finding? And also, I was on Sirius XM this morning with our old guy, Rick Kamla.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, those guys asked, well, why is this taking so long? And the simple answer is really that the legal process takes a long time. In the NFL, if you can think about it, I think people think, well, the NFL is this all-powerful organization and they can find the information they need. No, it's not like that. For one, the HPD is not going to offer up any information from an ongoing investigation to the employer of the guy they're investigating.
Right.
They don't, you know, they might ask the NFL some questions or ask the Texans some questions. And likewise, the NFL has to be very careful in these situations, because if they dig too deep, then it looks like they're prying or they're trying to influence the process, or it looks like they're trying to bully plaintiffs or women. And it just, they have to be very, very careful and treat this with kid gloves. And that's why it seems to a lot of people like it's taking so painstakingly long, because they are in second place here. The plaintiff's attorneys, the HPD, all of those people have first priority in finding information about this.
All right, the anticipation is building for 9:15 a.m. this morning when the Texans will take the practice field, really for 8:45 a.m. when Nick Caserio will be live here on Sports Radio 610 with his press conference, his pre-Camp Caserio press conference. By the way, Nick Caserio will be on with Seth and I tomorrow morning at 7:30 as well, live out here. He'll be sitting right in that chair right there, and we'll talk to the Texans GM. So we got you covered here out of Texans training camp, Camp Caserio, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so we asked a question yesterday, which GM here in town is going to be the first one to make a deal this week? I had no idea that it would be a sprint between these two particular GMs. We got some trades to report on. We'll dig into them. We'll analyze next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Seth and I were talking yesterday. We did a segment where we said, okay, who's going to be the general manager that makes the first trade this week? Because all three general managers are looking at different deals. Nick Caserio, he's like a crazy fantasy owner right now. And, of course, he's looking at trade options potentially for Deshaun Watson. We know that Rafael Stone, the Rockets GM, has a draft coming up this week where there's still rumors the Rockets may be moving up to the number one pick. And the trade deadline, the literal trade deadline, is coming up for Major League Baseball later this week. And so James Click and the Astros, we presume we're going to be making at least a few moves to tweak the roster. Seth, I guess if we just go back to yesterday, I guess technically James Click is the one who got to the finish line, stuck his chest out, and cut the ribbon there like a sprinter did in the old school days, back when you used to do that thing. But the one that looked like it was almost going to be the winner, ironically, was Nick Caserio, and it was not a deal that had anything to do with Deshaun Watson. It actually is a deal that had more to do with Aaron Rodgers that would have made him the winner. Now, this deal is still expected to happen, but if you were kind of unplugged from things yesterday, it looks like the Texans might be getting out from underneath Randall Cobb's awful contract.
Right. Randall Cobb, who got $9 million a year for 3 years, a year after only being able to garner a one-year $5 million contract from the Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers misses him. The Packers drafted a slot receiver this year, but slot receiver, even though it's gotten easier for rookie receivers to make an impact these days, slot receiver is tough to just step in and play with as much intelligence as Randall Cobb.
Cecil Shorts was a slot receiver, and he said that. He said it's behind quarterback, it's the hardest position to learn all the nuances.
It's all about reading coverages.
That's right.
You know, if you're a guy that lines up on the outside and you're super fast or super strong, you're going to win some snaps just with your physicality. Underneath, you've got to read coverages almost like a quarterback and figure out how to adjust your routes. You got to be really, really smart. And Randall Cobb is not what he used to be, but one of the best things that Randall Cobb did was that he had kind of like an ESP connection with Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers, when he gets into trouble late in the down, when, you know, he sees something in the coverage and Randall Cobb sees it too, those two kind of had a lot of nonverbal communication that Rodgers probably hasn't had with a lot of other guys. So he misses that and he wants that back. And I think here in Houston, we're saying, well, you know, that's we'll have to figure out a way to get that 400 yards that we got out of Randall Cobb last year, but somehow we'll manage.
The devil will be in the details of the trade that I think everybody assumes is eventually going to get made with Cobb going back to the Packers. You know, what does he bring back? I don't expect him to bring back anything super significant. You know, probably some sort of maybe a draft pick swap or a third day pick at best, something like that. And my guess is, Seth, that the Texans might have to pick up some of the tab on Randall Cobb's contract, because that was the big thing yesterday afternoon, was the two sides were trying to make this trade work, but the one problem is the Packers need more cap space to be able to absorb Randall Cobb into – they either need more cap space or they need the Texans to pick up some of the tab in order to absorb him onto their team. So that's a sliding scale. You know what? They're going to come up with some sort of deal, and we'll take a look at what that is. I think purely from a football standpoint, I like this for the Texans, because there was nothing at all about the future – of the Texans that was going to involve Randall Cobb. This is an opportunity now. Maybe you found something with Anthony Miller in this trade earlier this week. Maybe Kiki QT finally. Maybe it finally all clicks for him, and you get those guys. Steps.
Well, and that's the part where you step back and you say, okay, you know what? You know what was cool about this? This was some professional general managing, because Anthony Miller is picked up. The Texans trade a fifth rounder for a seventh rounder with the Chicago Bears. And you think, okay, that's nice, but boy, it's kind of crowded at slot receiver right now. How do you dice up those reps, especially with Randall Cobb's contract guaranteed, or a large part of it? And now you see, okay, this may have been in the works for a little while now. This is something, as the Packers were making public statements about how they'd made progress with Aaron Rodgers, and as they finally came to a deal that included some concessions from the Packers, you see that, okay, I think maybe the Packers and the Texans have been having some chats over the last week or so, and this all makes sense. That all makes sense. Yep. That looks like something that was done with some planning, that wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, yeah. Bill O'Brien got angry, so he went and cut somebody or paid somebody or traded somebody away.
Yeah.
That's a nice little piece of professional.
It's a familiar feeling, but it feels weird. It hasn't happened around here in a while. You're right. I think you're right. If you're a Texan fan, if the Cobb trade ends up happening, you're right, Seth. That's a sequence of events where you look at it and go, okay, there's another example of we've got somebody that knows what they're doing running things now.
You know, and ironically enough, the guy that we thought would be first to make a move was James Click, and he did, of course, and he does it in a way where he now has the Mariners GM saying, hey, listen, everybody, just calm down. This is all part of a process, because, frankly, the Astros.
Well, let's tell the people the detail, because they don't know it real quick. The Astros made a trade with the Mariners yesterday, and so they basically just had guys walk down the hall and trade uniforms because they were in the same building.
Literally, Toro was taking batting practice, and so Toro was traded.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Literally, like, went, changed jerseys, and then came back out.
And people were tweeting, like, McTaggart's tweeting, like, Abraham Toro's out here in a Mariners jersey. Like, it hadn't been announced
yet. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they were tweeting. Yeah, people were covering the game were tweeting, like, why is Toro in a Mariners jersey? So Abraham Toro and Joe Smith go to the Mariners for two relief pitchers, but the main one is Kendall Graveman, who has the best ERA of any reliever in baseball this year.
He's been awesome.
And to your point, Seattle is up in arms about this
trade right now. The players are freaking out.
It's a white flag that they're raising.
Here are a couple quotes. One player said of DePoto, the GM, he hasn't come down here. He sits up in his suite playing fantasy baseball and rips apart our team without telling us anything. Another player via text said, no one has heard a thing. I've seen a lot of teammates walk out that door, but this one hurts the most and is the most expletive up. The team deserves an explanation. This is a team in the Mariners that has found their way back to respectability.
Yeah.
That was
coming off one of the biggest wins in franchise history.
Everybody was elated. Yeah. Everybody in the Mariners clubhouse was elated. They upended one of the best teams in the league. They came back. They did it.
Grand slam.
They just had a good series versus the Red Sox. Like, man, everything's coming together.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, you trade away one of their best players this season, who he himself – well, Graveman was in almost in tears as he's talking about the trade because he really was excited about the prospects there in Seattle. It felt good to make everybody cry. including, I'm sorry, Graveman, you. But you'll be happy soon.
You know, you'll be
because,
happy.
Because, frankly, the Mariners aren't that good.
No. And I like that, that the first interview with a reliever that we picked up at the trade deadline was one where the guy is actually giving serious answers, thoughtful answers, and not turning into a night at the improv like some other relievers that we picked up before.
Oh, your favorite.
Well, looking at you, Biagini.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy was not a Biagini. I'll say this about
Biagini's playing a Holiday Inn somewhere like DeSoto right now. Yeah.
I'll say this about Click. He went and got – now, it's a true rental. Graveman is a free agent after this season. Maybe they re-sign him, whatever. If I'm Graveman, I'm excited about coming here, not just because it's a winning team, but I've been pitching well, and now I get to go through the Brent Strom car wash also. Who knows what else the Astros unearth that will make him even more valuable in free agency next year.
Yeah.
But James Click managed to add a significant arm in the bullpen, Seth. He, to me, without touching anything that is considered an elite or even relevant asset. Like, Abraham Toro is not – he's 24 years old, and part of the future. And Joe Smith is a throw-in here.
Right. And Toro, like
– there's more moves coming.
We love Toro.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably – he'll always have a place in Astros history and lore because of – the play he made, which had Verlander saying, "Where the bleep is Toro?"
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like,
he's a no-hitter. Yeah.
He's a T-shirt.
Yeah.
He's a T-shirt,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, in a good way.
Yeah.
So, yes, but you don't shed a tear, especially Ledmus Diaz comes back.
Yep.
So you're getting that part back into the fold. You know, Ledmus Diaz was one of those sneaky guys where when he went down with injury, everybody said, "Boy, you're going to miss Ledmus Diaz."
Marwin.
But then you almost kind of forget, even though we invoke his name, you really forget how valuable he is until you watch some of the Robel Garcias of the world try to take his place. So this was a hell of a trade. And honestly, if you're the Mariners, and I know that their GM is saying, "Well, this is all part of some grand plan," man, you just traded with the best team in the division in a year where you're trying to get back to respectability somehow. What a spit in the eye to your fan base. This is classically thinking you're the smartest guy in the room.
And you got fleeced. It'd be one thing. It would be bad if they traded Graveman and they actually got prospects that were well thought of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it would be – this is kind of them waving the white flag on the season, it feels like, almost. All right. So James Click makes that deal yesterday. More deals coming, I think, with the Astros between now and Friday. We'll keep an eye on the Randall Cobb trade throughout the day today as well. By the way, the Astros win last night 8-6. So there's that. And also, they're one of eight teams that are involved with the Nationals right now in trade talks for Max Scherzer.
Yes.
That's exciting.
I'm sorry. I still can't stop thinking about the Mariners and the next time Joe Smith makes an appearance for them.
Did he get in last night?
Did he get in last night?
He did.
I was asleep as hell.
Toro hit a home run.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Top questions we want answered today at Camp Casario. And yes, at the very top involves a fifth-year quarterback. That's next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast live out at Camp Casario, Texans training camp. Seth and I are sitting here staring at the pristine practice field. It'll be a lot less pristine once these cleats start digging into it. We can't wait.
Actually, sun's coming up.
Players out here practicing. Sun's coming up. This is that time of morning where the temperature is going to rise about 25 degrees in the next 15 minutes or so.
I miss the Sahara dust, though. The sunrise is just like a white sunrise.
Yeah.
Give me some of that Sahara dust sunrise.
That's right. That's right. So, Seth, we get started today. Players will be out here 9:15 a.m. A reminder, Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, will be doing a media availability at 8:45 a.m., presumably. We'll at least get questions about Deshaun Watson. I don't know what the answers are going to be, but at some point at 9:15 a.m., we're going to start to get some clarity on exactly how Deshaun Watson will be handled here at training camp by the team. Will he practice? Will he be out here? A ton of intrigue. Can't wait. Anticipation building. And Nick Caserio, by the way, 7:30 tomorrow morning, will be on live here with Seth and I sitting right in that chair. So some questions that we want answered today at Camp Caserio. I think most of the big questions center around Deshaun. Does he practice? If he practices, Seth, I think the two things I'm most intrigued to see and the questions I want answered are, if he practices, what string is he treated as on the depth chart? We know he's the best quarterback. And what is his demeanor? Is he out? Is he James Hardening it? Or is he out here being professional, you know,
being the best backup quarterback he can be? Let's say he's a backup.
Yeah.
Is he going to go out there and be the best backup quarterback he can be in that role?
Yeah, honestly, if they're doing these drills where they're just either throwing against air or throwing one-on-one against, you know, you got wide receivers going against defensive backs or seven-on-seven, something like that, and there's a miscommunication, let's say, does Deshaun – normally Deshaun would say walk over to a receiver. We've seen him do this. And he would – you can just read his hand motions. You can tell he's communicating with that receiver after a play when there's a miscommunication. Hey, you should have done this or that, or it's my bad or whatever. If something like that happens, does Deshaun just sort of turn and just walk back and get in line? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, does he act like an invested player in
this?
Or is he going through the motions?
Because we've got some PTSD from watching Harden do whatever the hell he was doing this last year. I'd prefer not to see that, regardless of everything that is going on with the investigation and everything. Right. That would be a story. And look, really, realistically, under normal circumstances, I don't think we would see Deshaun Watson. So let me put that disclaimer out there, because I've already had a few people say, like, Seth, what are you crazy? Would they do that? Okay, settle down for a second and think back to the various things that seemed like they never would happen that have happened over the last couple of years with the Texans, including the DeAndre Hopkins trade. So that's why it's a complete and total wild card as to what exactly will happen. I think that when it comes to the question of, okay, would he step back out as a starting quarterback? I think if this were a normal holdout situation or threatened holdout situation, and I were, let's say I were a coach or a GM, and I got a little bit of pride where I'm like, all right, almost like, yeah, I'm not going to let you off of this scot-free. If this were a normal holdout situation or contract deal situation where Deshaun had kind of, you know, Deshaun and his camp had, you know, maybe through avenues, taking some shots at the organization, or I might say, all right, well, you weren't here in the spring, and Tyrod Taylor has the most experience with Pep Hamilton now and his skew on the offense. So, but we're not going to put you behind a rookie who doesn't know anything about the NFL. So Deshaun will start off running with the twos.
Yeah,
that'd be my petty move. I would never put him behind Davis Mills, because that doesn't make any sense.
Right,
like Davis Mills. Yes, I know he went to Stanford. He doesn't know anything about the NFL. He's clueless. He's dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
I don't care what his Wonderlic score is. So it makes the most sense. And Jeff Driscoll, very little experience. He knows and gets the NFL. But I think that's my – if he does show up and he does take snaps, I'm guessing it's with the twos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting today later on.
Will he interact at all? I guess let's do this real quick.
Okay.
Three people. Will he interact with Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and or Cal McNair?
I'm gonna say no on all three.
Yeah, I think he kind of does the old no eye contact.
I'm gonna say no on all three.
Even if it's cordial out here, and even if it, like, I don't think he makes a big spectacle of it or anything, but I think he kind of just does, you know, that thing, you know, like when you and your wife are in an argument and you don't want to talk to each other, but you got to still maneuver around the house anyway. And you're both just like trying not to make eye contact because you just don't want to deal with it at that moment.
Yeah.
I think that's where Deshaun is right now.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's one of the psycho spouses, it's like, oh no, we're going to talk about this right now.
How great would that be if he got into arguments with some of them out here?
Luckily, my wife and I are equally passive aggressive. We're just like, Brandy and I. Yeah, just, we're just gonna like
mix.
Bide our time until one of us apologizes.
Perfect mix. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain jumps in with us out here live at the top of the hour, by the way, brought to you by hornsolutions.net. You touched on something there that's actually what made me think of this topic yesterday, Seth, was Easterby. Huh. He was out here at every practice the last couple of years, at least it felt. I mean, maybe not literally every practice, but he was a guy who would, you know, for a guy who's not on the coaching staff, he sure does interact with the players quite a bit out at practice. Do we think, independent of Deshaun, I think the question of Deshaun interacting with Easterby certainly, at the very least, sends you to a place mentally where you're, you know, that could create a spectacle. But do you think he's out here? And if so, if he's out here, is he interacting with players? Is he doing things? What do you think?
That is interesting to me, and almost completely aside from...
He was at OTAs.
I would say completely aside from the Deshaun Watson dynamic. I'm curious to see exactly what Easterby's role is with the team and with the players themselves. I mean, there were some, you know, there weren't a lot of people there to watch it, but to watch the sidelines last year and to watch Jack Easterby interact with the players, it was different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was different. And I know at least some of the players thought it was weird, just outright weird, but he was like running around acting like a coach or something on the sidelines, you know, without actually, you know, having the knowledge and skill of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's going to continue to operate in that way. I think that there might be a little bit more of a removing, because he is a guy who in the organization is the decision maker. I know he's not involved in personnel the way he was with Bill O'Brien, but he is in the organization a decision maker, and there's a difference between the high five, peppy character coach guy that he was in New England. Like, you can't quite be that same guy if you're also the guy who's got input into getting people hired and fired. And I think maybe they've probably realized that a little bit, and he might not be as visible or as vocal during practices. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. So those are some of the, I would say, Deshaun-related interpersonal things that I'm going to be watching for today, for sure. It's a great day to read body language. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Out at Camp Caserio. How about from a football standpoint, who are some of the guys that you've got on your short list?
Okay, we know the Texans desperately need a pass rush. I mean, J.J. Watt was by far their best pass rusher last year, and for anybody that was in a coma for a while, he's gone.
He is?
Yeah, so, you know, Sean, you know how people say, like, hey, if you woke up from a coma and found out what the situation was?
Yeah.
I want to start a reality show where you actually do that, where you take people who have come out of comas and then explain to them the events that occurred while they were in a coma.
Seth, don't announce these ideas on the air. Someone's going to steal that. That's really good. I like that.
I guess with the Texans, we'd start with the DeAndre Hopkins
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, so you went into a medically induced coma in February of 2020. All right, are you ready? Okay, first of all, let me explain to you why you're wearing a face mask right now.
That's right.
They won't let me take this face mask off. Okay, let's start with
There's
that.
A lot to unpack
And then let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm just picturing you and the production staff going to the medical center and doing the recon to get the show off the ground. Like, I'm going to need a list of everybody who's in a coma.
I don't want to hear about your HIPAA. You're misusing that term.
That's right.
So I guess who is the pass rush going to be provided by? The great thing about Lovie Smith coming in is that it is a departure from the kind of defense that Anthony Weaver was trying to run. And pass rush, you know, with Anthony Weaver or with Romeo Crennel, you know, going back to the New England days, they have different kind of core methodologies, those two, Romeo Crennel and Anthony Weaver, but neither of them were quite like Lovie Smith, in that a Lovie Smith defense, like a peak Tampa 2 Lovie Smith defense, you want to have some stud pass rushers. You want to have some guys that can really get after the quarterback, more so than Bill Belichick has had in New England all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New England's never really put a high emphasis on pass rushers themselves.
Yeah.
But the Texans, no matter what scheme they're running, they need a better pass rush. Malik Collins is a guy to watch because he had a really promising year a couple years ago in Dallas, where they ran a scheme that's a lot more similar to this one. Then he went off to Oakland, and it frankly looked a little bit like a mismatch of scheme for him. And he didn't have a great year. Now he's back to doing what he was doing in Dallas a couple years ago, where he can just concentrate on getting across the line of scrimmage and getting into the backfield. I'd like to see something out of him. And then I think also some of the guys that were here already that showed some hints of untapped potential,
mm-hmm.
Jacob Martin specifically, he might really thrive in a scheme like this. Whitney Mercilus, what's he going to look like physically?
That's a big one
for
me.
I'm almost, this one I'm half hoping is that, you know, I think I hope that somehow COVID definitely did affect Whitney. This sounds like a horrible way to say it, but what's in the past is in the past.
Right.
if it was either because the routine was different or because of a bout with COVID or what have you, that Merciless maybe was just physically not himself last year.
Yeah.
You know, Myles Garrett was public and open about it, that he had a hard time coming back from COVID. He just didn't feel right. And, you know, I think there might have been a few guys last year who had COVID at various times during the year, and that might account for some of their mysterious physical downs, like the underperformances. Because Whitney just, he didn't look like, Whitney's not a guy who doesn't work hard. He works his butt off. He always shows up in shape, and he just didn't look like himself last year.
Purely as a fantasy football player, I'm anxious to watch the running back battle and get some inside intel on that and maybe figure out who is going to get some of the, to figure out who can be maybe an RB2 or RB3 for my fantasy team.
Pep Hamilton is going to come with a different perspective on the run game than Tim Kelly has probably seen. And I think that's a really good thing. You know, Tim Kelly has only worked for Bill O'Brien in the NFL.
That's right.
He really only has that perspective. So, you know, even though he's the offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton has seen a few more things and different schemes and different methodologies. So I think it might be better for any one of those individual running backs, but also does it also help open up more passing opportunities for David Johnson, say, if you're a fantasy owner?
I think one of the big things I'm anxious to see play out, Seth, is just the overall tenor of these practices, because since free agency, the one thing that we and many others have constantly harped on here is, wow, this may not be a great team, but they sure are bringing in a lot of guys on one-year deals, a lot of guys who may be on their last chance here in the NFL or close to it. Competition is a big word that's been brought up. I am anxious to see if this camp has a different vibe to it, I guess, than maybe some of the O'Brien camps, which felt like a lot of people were already entrenched in their positions on the roster.
There's actual competition.
A lot of fighting for jobs going on.
Sometimes, over the last couple of years at various times, I've said, you know what, this looks like a team that might be ready to compete, especially 2 years ago. Because you look around and you say, okay, there are bona fide starters here. There's guys that are like starting caliber. There's no question about it. I think sometimes Bill O'Brien took that a little too far because he fell in love with some players, you know, and it's called a halo effect. Sometimes you have such a halo effect over a guy like Nick Martin or what have you that you don't see the negatives of that player. You don't coach him as hard as he maybe should, where now all of that is removed. And that happens whenever there's a new coach that comes in. Even if you are a guy that should be thought of as an entrenched starter, when a new coach comes in your mind, you're like, all right, I got to prove myself all over again to this guy. Like, I guess on this team specifically, there might only be a few guys that probably feel immune to that. You know, Laremy Tunsil, I think, is probably one of the guys, those guys who's immune to that.
Probably.
Who else would there be that's immune to the actual scrutiny? I mean, like, I would say by playing.
I don't think Zach
field,
Cunningham's going anywhere.
Right, right.
That's what you mean. You know, that kind of
Cunningham's
thing.
Cunningham's not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, Roby shouldn't be under that scrutiny, but Roby had a disciplinary issue last year. He missed a start for discipline reasons, you know, and he had that same issue in Denver. So you wonder what, even though he's the best cornerback skill wise, and he's been your most consistent performer at cornerback, I think he's got to prove something on a professionalism level to the.
We should
to the
point
coaches.
Out, yeah, we should point out with Roby, Seth. I think that's a good one just to touch on real quick, because of that suspension, because of the PED suspension. His salary was supposed to be guaranteed this year, $8 or $9 million, whatever it was. Not guaranteed anymore. So Bradley Roby comes out and has a bad camp. There's another $8 or $9 million in cap space you can open up to carry over. By the way, the first training camp session, the first session of Camp Caserio open to fans is going to be Monday, August the 2nd. So let's assume then that Deshaun Watson is out here with this team and that by Monday of next week he's not traded. What's the reaction going to be to Deshaun Watson from the assembled crowd out here at the Methodist Training Center?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think it's like when an Astros player comes back and it's somebody that maybe left in free agency and he wasn't completely beloved. Who would I be thinking of here? Like Springer guy. Springer's a all cheers guy. But you get a mixed bag. You get a few people that are going
to... Beltran.
Beltran, yeah.
He got booed for the next 10 years.
Yeah. No, but he's not a mixed bag. Well, yeah. Hey, remember my thought was that we should have kept booing Beltran just to keep things comfortable and safe
for him.
That's
true.
It all worked out. Yeah. No, maybe he would have been better in the postseason.
You never know.
Maybe they wouldn't have had to resort to various things.
Yeah.
I think it's a mixed bag, but largely...
These are all season ticket holders that are going to be out here. I don't know if that affects your handicapping of this thing at all.
You know, Brandon Scott made a good point about... having only season tickets holders out here, Brandon's theory was that the team was trying to insulate itself from some of the scrutiny. Mm-hmm. Brandon thought that the team, if that was their strategy, might be underestimating just how vocal and vitriolic the season ticket holders can be.
Yes.
Like, with that large ticket price comes a feeling of, you know, I'm kind of justified in my complaint right here.
Right, right. 713-572-4610 to text us. That's the best way to get in touch with us when we're live out here at Camp Casario. Where is the text from Ocho? Here it is. And this is a good way, actually, to touch on some of the news from yesterday that we haven't gotten to yet. Ocho says, Sean, put your GM hat on. Would you trade a first for Xavien Howard or Chandler Jones?
Oh, a first for sure.
Oh, I wouldn't for Chandler Jones.
No, for Xavien Howard, though.
For Xavien Howard. Now, he's on his big contract.
Yeah,
and he wants more money, right?
Yeah.
He's already on a really good contract, and he wants more money.
Yeah.
My issue with trading a first-round pick, really for anybody right now, Seth, is that you've had a first-round pick once in the last 4 years. There comes a time where you've actually got to start to build. And also, if I'm trading my first-round pick and I'm the Texans, you're basically trading the Dolphins a pretty good shot at another top five pick in the draft.
But the problem, the difference would be, I guess, Sean, is, okay, is that Xavien Howard considered, is that part of the what you get back for Deshaun Watson? You know, if Xavien Howard is part of that package, I feel like, okay, instead of three first-round picks and whatever else for Deshaun Watson,
okay,
you're getting a couple of first-round picks plus a Xavien Howard. And, yeah, you're going to have to pay Xavien Howard, but it's that because I think that's what the calculus is going to end up having to be. And it might be a team, whether it's the Dolphins or somebody else, where teams are trying to figure out, okay, really, what do I pay for a guy who might not be available because of suspension in Deshaun Watson? Plus, okay, you know, morally, do we feel like this is the right thing to do right now? It gets a little easier to massage it if you're trading away not just draft picks, but a guy with a bloated contract here, a disgruntled player there.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it starts to arbitrage all those figures. It doesn't have to be three first-round picks. It can be a couple first-round picks and a couple players.
And Chris Mortensen said that the Texans were reportedly, for Deshaun Watson, looking for some combination of five high draft picks and or players. You know, so three high picks and two players, two high picks, three players, whatever the case may be. I guess my thing with Xavien Howard, who, by the way, is from Houston and went to Baylor, so it would be a homecoming for Xavien Howard. I guess my thing with Xavien Howard and any player that they would mix into a trade like this, Seth, is that my guess is that Nick Caserio in a trade that involves players is probably not looking for a guy who's already on his second contract. They truly want players who actually feel like these are also high draft picks. You know what I mean? Like they're a year removed. That's why Carolina made so much sense last year to trade with, because you could have gotten some high draft picks, and they've got Derek Brown that they drafted out of Auburn. They've got Brian Burns, the edge rusher, who's still on his rookie deal. I don't know that the players they want necessarily – Xavien Howard's a great player, don't get me wrong, but by the time the Texans are competing for anything, he's probably 30 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you going to pay that right now where you want to be thinking about the future? I don't know.
And Chandler Jones, no chance I want to trade first.
I'm trying to throw Wheatley High School a bone, bring one of his guys back.
Is that where he went?
Fifth Ward, yeah.
There you go.
I don't know. Correct me on the text line if I'm wrong. I think
they will.
In fifth
Ward. They will. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. All right, we head into the 7 o'clock hour, and he is here, the Hall of Famer, John McClain, the general. He'll be live with us this week and next week in the 7 o'clock hour. A reminder that tomorrow at 7:30, we will have Nick Caserio on the show. He'll be joining the media at 8:45 a.m. today. He'll be on with Seth and I at 7:30 tomorrow. John McClain is up next, presented by hornsolutions.net. Is this the weirdest training camp that John McClain has ever covered in his 40-plus years of covering the NFL? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.